I rarely talk about all three of the readings on a Sunday for the Sunday homily because I think it's just too much information all at once. I'd rather focus on one thing. But today's readings all fit together on this third Sunday in ordinary time. In the first reading, Isaiah speaks of the moment when Israel will be delivered from the prolonged darkness and oppression it has suffered as a result of its infidelity to the covenant, to God. And that moment is described as being like the joy of the harvest. And a harvest is the end of a great deal of work and patience and anxiety. You never know how the weather's going to be. You never know whether locusts are coming or some other pestilence and so on. You work hard, but in the end, you need the Lord to bring the harvest to completion. And in the second reading, St. Paul shows that the Lord does not just liberate us, he also wants us united around him and working with him. He wants a relationship with us, in other words. And Paul is chiding the Corinthians because they're claiming some special privilege based on whoever baptized them or whoever was the most eloquent preacher. And St. Paul writes all of his letters except the letters to the Romans. He writes them to communities that he had already evangelized, and they're having problems. That's why he's writing to them, to help them out with their problems, the disputes they're having, a lack of unity, wrong kind of teaching they're doing, things like that. So Paul wants them united in mind and purpose around Christ, not around the individual preacher or whoever baptized them. The whole purpose is to be united to Christ and his gospel as Christians. They were baptized in Christ, not Paul or Cephas or Apollos. And Paul reminds them that it was Christ who was crucified, not him. Christ was crucified for their sins. And if they don't give credit where credit is due, well, then they're not going to be able to lead people to Christ. And then in the gospel, our Lord is revealed by Matthew to be that light of liberation and joy spoken of by Isaiah the prophet. He's speaking about Jesus in the future. Everything our Lord said and did and lived during his earthly mission has something to say. And in this case, settling in Capernaum shows that the light of liberation has arrived to a people with a pagan past. It's an allusion to the darkness and oppression caused by their past infidelities. Well, you know, when we talk about light and darkness, we have the privilege of living in the Cleveland area, which for all of the cities in our country has the second least amount of sunshine in the wintertime. The only poor people worse off than us are the people in Grand Rapids, Michigan. They're number one. They have less sunshine than even we do, which is hard to believe. But you know, Barrow, Alaska is 330 miles north of the Arctic Circle. And during the winter, it does not see daylight for 67 days. There's no daylight at all for 67 days. Over 2 months without daylight. I can't imagine living in a night that lasts over 2 months long. You can't have a party for that long. Television gets boring. I don't know how they do it up there, but they do. But when darkness lasts so long, you begin to wonder whether daylight will ever return. And the residents of Barrow do have something for which they hope, unlike any other part of Alaska. Once summer comes around, they'll have 80 days of uninterrupted light. They say that the sun kind of hangs out above the horizon, which would normally be at nighttime, and they go for 80-some days with no night. All light instead. Well, Christ has brought light to the life of all believers, but we still suffer in darkness because we live in a sinful world. We can't be discouraged when it seems the darkness will never give way to dawn, because if we persevere in hope and help others to do so, will not only join 80 days of daylight, like the people of Barrow, but will enjoy light for all eternity. This is what Jesus promises us. Pope St. John Paul II, in many of his teachings, had a favorite passage from one of the documents of the Second Vatican Council. It's called the Constitution on the Church in the Modern World. It's one of the primary documents of the Second Vatican Council. And he says this, "The truth is that only in the mystery of the incarnate Word does the mystery of man take on light." And the incarnate Word is Jesus Christ. "It's only in the light of Jesus Christ does the mystery of man take light. Through Christ and in Christ, the riddles of sorrow and death grow meaningful. Apart from his gospel, they overwhelm us." I think it's safe to say that everyone at some point in their life feels overwhelmed or disoriented or questioning the meaning of their life and how they're living it. That distress doesn't just focus on the moment, but causes us to think of the road we have already traveled and where do we want to go from there. And it's in that moment that Christ wants to be your light, if you let him. Let him light the way and give meaning to your life.